Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, good evening. It's healing class, and I'm so glad you're here. I've been praying this afternoon and praying for you and all of us, and I just trust that God's going to say something, probably not everything, or maybe everything, but he's going to say something that speaks to you. So just ask him, and I'm going to ask him, Lord, let me hear what I need to hear. Let me hear the word I need to hear, and I just pray that you hear it just exactly from him, and you sense he spoke to me, because there's nothing like that at all. No matter what you're going through, God is so faithful, so good, so kind and loving, and he wants to reach all of us and speak to us. So let me start praying before I just get to going and don't stop. Father, I just thank you so much for this time and for your word which is life and medicine to all of us. And I ask you, Lord, that everyone in this room and anyone hearing this message will hear a word from you, will hear something, Lord God, that lets them know that you see and you care and you're there and you heal and there's nothing impossible with you. I thank you, Lord God, for your comforts, your help, and your mercy this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this is healing class. This semester has gone by so fast. And I love this time, and I love spending time reading the scriptures over and over and over again. I'm a person of repetition. My kids are like, Mom, how many times do you have to say it? I'm like, I don't know. You can tell I learn from repetition. And so I go over something over and over and over again. And this semester, I have sensed to talk about faith. What is faith? How do we grow in our faith? And the reason why is the Bible says that all things are possible when we believe, and that we actually live by our faith or what we believe. So I'm like, I really want to understand it. I want to examine myself and see, am I in faith? How can I grow in faith? But so I began looking up the word faith in Hebrew. And it's a Hebrew word, and I put it on this paper. You could tell I like colors, so that's how I learn things as well. I repeat, and I use colors. So back in preschool, that's me. Emunah means it's not exactly, and I didn't know this for a long time. I thought my faith was growing just by what I knew about God, what I understood about God. Okay, there's my faith. I'm hearing the scriptures, so my faith is growing. But faith isn't just about what you're thinking about God, what you know about God. It's what you do. Faith, this word emunah, the Hebrew, it's a verb, it's an action word, and it's having an active trust in the goodness of God, and then you having a loyalty and showing your loyalty to God, that you love him, that you trust him. That's actually what faith is. It has movement, it has action behind it. It's a verb. I like it. I thought it was very interesting, too, that this word, emunah, the root of it means a craftsman or an artisan, which means there's an inborn talent in somebody that has to be developed. If you're a musician or an artist and you never pick up an instrument and you never pick up a paintbrush, you will not develop in that gifting, even though you have a talent for it. And I love that example because faith is the same way. When we come to know the Lord, the Bible actually says that we have a measure of the God kind of faith. God's kind of faith that created the heavens and the earth. We have his faith on the inside of it, a measure of it. And it says in the scriptures, and I wrote these scriptures, we only need a little bit of it to do big things. It says you just need the faith as little to the natural eye as a mustard seed, and a mountain can move. Think of it like a mountain of symptoms, a mountain of debt, a mountain of problems, a mountain of grief can move with just a little bit of faith. Sometimes we think, I gotta have big faith. You can use the faith you have, and you don't need much to do absolutely big, supernatural, and miraculous things. It says if we have a little bit of faith, it could uproot things, a sycamore tree, and just move it over. I like that because sometimes there's been things in our family or our history, background, you could say, well, mental illness or depression has been in my family for years. But with a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, the Bible says that can be uprooted from your life. That can be moved from your life. So faith, our trust in God being so important, and we have a measure of it, I think it's very important to know, am I developing? Am I growing in my faith? How do I grow in my faith? I have muscles. If I don't use them, they're going to atrophy, and it won't look like I have muscles. If I exercise them, I'll look like I actually have some muscles. So all you have to do is have some movement to your faith. Now, it's probably important to know out of Habakkuk, the just live by his faith. So you actually are living out what you believe. So if you want to live differently, you got to change your beliefs. What do you believe? We actually do believe in something. It's just, what are we actually believing in? We want to take God's words and put them in the front of our life. We want God's words to begin to lead our life. We want our trust and faith in what God has to say about every and any situation to be the foremost and most important thing. And that's why in Proverbs 4, 20 and 22, it says this, my son, attend or pay attention to my words. Incline and lean in your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those who find them, and their health are medicine to all their flesh. God's words have a medicinal quality in them. All of God's words. So if you begin to read your Bible out loud, it's almost like taking a treatment. God's words have medicine in them. Words are like containers. They contain things. And that's why if you get a call in the middle of the day from your doctor and he gives you bad news and those words contain negatives, it affects you. Have you ever had a phone call? You're fine till you get that phone call, and then you're like, I'm not okay now. Now I feel a little down. Your emotions attach to words that you hear. Now think about it. When the doctor calls you and says, you know, your x-ray doesn't look good, and your blood work didn't come out good either, or, you know, the prognosis is not good on this. I have never seen the x-ray. I don't know how to read the blood work they're talking to me about, but I believe those words. It's bad news. And my emotions and everything attach to bad news. And life is going to have a lot of things to it. A lot of different words holding different things. God's words hold medicine. They hold life. They hold peace. They hold comfort. And it's always good. What I like to do is say, Lord, what would you say about this situation? What's your word that you would speak to me at this time. And if you're reading your Bible and reading out loud, you will be surprised at how God can get a word to you. He can bring it to you through a song that you find yourself humming, a praise song. He can give it to you as you're reading the scriptures. He could all of a sudden bring it up to your remembrance, and it's a scripture. And what he's saying is, I know the situation doesn't look good that you're in, but this is what I would say about the situation. I would say that I am the Lord, your healer. I would say, and that word is, I'm the one who can make the bitter experience that's hurting you sweet. And so when you go, God, what would you say about this situation? He says something different, and let his words lead. And put your emotions and put the situation and the diagnosis and the experiences in life behind what God says about the situation. And that is, it's like, I'm going to trust and focus in on God. Now, there's different ways. The beautiful thing about growing and developing our faith is little things make a big difference and grow us. By reading your Bible out loud, by speaking the scriptures, and Derek even actually printed out a whole bunch of scriptures for you for this whole month. By speaking those, you're growing your faith. You're causing faith to begin to come to you, and you're going to begin to nurture and grow faith in you just by reading the scriptures. That's something we actually can all do. Last time I spoke about persevering, enduring, just by continuing to come to church, continuing to pray, continuing to read your Bible, continuing to go, I trust that God can do something, and persevering. That, which any of us can make a choice to do, is also growing your faith. And then there's another little thing I want to talk to you about tonight, and that is thankfulness. Being thankful, being grateful to the Lord and in life is actually another way that you begin to develop and grow and get stronger in your faith. And I like that because that's a choice I can make. There was a minister, he said this, I thought it was interesting. He said, doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So you could see faith has a look to it. Faith is a verb. Faith has movement to it. And it's not too hard for us to begin to develop in the faith that God's already given us a measure of. I just love that. So whatever you're dealing with, God's like, you can trust me in this situation and you can get through too. He has something to say. Now, when I think of thankfulness, for me, it's something I really have to work on in my life. I have to practice it. Oh, for some reason, we're not always naturally thankful. But I wanted to tell you this one instance that happened that was one of the most beautiful examples of a thankful heart I had seen. While my kids were growing up, I wanted to introduce them to people that didn't have as much. I wanted to teach them how to be compassionate towards people. So I found an elderly grandma in the Woodlands. She was in this government housing that I'm like, we'll just adopt her. We'll just go to her, we'll bring her candy, and I'll have the kids. And Alan's talked to you how Michael would always stand on her oxygen tubes. I was like, don't do that. You know, don't do that. She was in this one room government housing for 8 years, and she was on oxygen and in bed most all of the day. She would watch TV. And her husband left her there when she was sick, and he divorced her and married her best friend. I know. And Miss Bobby was her name. I was like, Miss Bobby, like, how are you okay? She said, you know, I call her. She goes, I'm just so thankful. I told myself I wouldn't let what my husband did bother me. I was going to forgive him. I forgave him. I'm so thankful. She says, you know what I had today? I had an ice cream sandwich. And when I was a kid, I didn't get to eat a lot of ice cream. So I'm so thankful I had an ice cream sandwich. I'm like, Miss Bobby, you are just encouraging me and making me feel like I am so not thankful enough. She was so thankful. So this one time, I said, listen, what else can I do for you? Give me some things I could do for you. She goes, oh, Joy, I have this neighbor across the hall, and she's almost completely blind. She can see just a little bit, and it's her birthday, and I can't get out to get her anything. Could you get something for me? And I said, how about if I'll go to the grocery store, and I'll get a cake, and I'll put her name on it, happy birthday. I forget her name, but let's just say it was Eloise. Happy birthday. So I had Christina with me at the time. Christina says, she'll never forget this, which is exactly the impression I wanted to make on my kids. And we bring the cake over, and Miss Bobby's like, oh, I'm so excited. Let me call my friend over. And so she calls over. She goes, I want you to come over because I have a surprise for you. And so this sweet little elderly woman comes over, and she comes in, and she really was like legally blind. She could barely see. And Miss Bobby goes, here's a cake. And she goes, a cake? I kid you not. She put her face down. I thought, certainly her nose is in the icing. It has to be. And she's like, happy birthday. And she's like, Eloise, is that me? Is that happy birthday for me? And I was like, it's happy birthday, Eloise. That is your happy birthday. I'm glad you didn't have any candles on there because your face was so close to it. She was so excited, so thankful, and so was Miss Bobby. And I'm like, Lord, teach me to be thankful. Show me how to be grateful in this life that can have bad news, that can be uncomfortable, that sometimes is a little dark or a lot of dark. Teach me how to be thankful. And when you realize that thankfulness is attached to faith, I think for me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to practice this a whole lot more. So there is one passage in the scriptures, it's only written in one of the gospels, about 10 lepers. And I want to read it to you, and we'll stop a little bit, and then we'll talk about it. And then I got to tell you, the reason why I don't always give notes is because I switch them around. I'm going to switch something at the bottom, but I'll tell you, okay, so I don't confuse you. All right, here we go. Luke 17. And you know what? I forgot to hold my Bible up. So I'm going to say it. If you want to say it with me, you can. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It is medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. Amen, amen. Another really corny thing I always said to my kids, and they're like, Mom. I'm like, these are gospels. They hold medicine in them. They hold good things in all the time. And so you want to be taking this. Just think of it like a treatment. So as I'm reading the scriptures, you're getting some medicine, okay? Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off because they were quarantined. They weren't allowed to come close. But they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, just a pause there, because they're going to receive healing and they need healing. Healing is a mercy of the Lord. Look what they're asking for. Would you have mercy on us? Would you, in your love, just help us? Not that we deserve it, but mercy. Oh, mercy. And they have mercy on us. Jesus sees them. I love that. He sees them. He says to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So he doesn't ignore them. He's not afraid of them. He sees them and he responds and gives them an instruction. And as they obey that word, go to the priest. In other words, you only went to the priest if you thought your leprosy was healed. Go to the priest. They moved on that word, and as they went, they were cleansed or healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, so he was kind of not thought of very highly. He was just half Jewish. So Jesus answered and said, weren't there 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well, or that word can be whole. I really believe this man got something extra, made him whole. It's one thing to have a sickness stop progressing in your life. It's one thing to have a painful event stop moving in your life. It's another thing to be made whole, where the sickness or the difficult situation stops and everything that had damage to it done by the sickness or the situation is recovered and restored. Made whole. Now, leprosy at that time, did you know there's still people who have leprosy? Not like they used to have it years ago, but leprosy was almost like a cancer that you'd see on the body, but it had to do with the nervous system. And it did terrible deformity to the face, the nose, the ears. People would go blind. They wouldn't have any feeling in their hands. They would go numb. The fingers would fall off. The toes would fall off. The deformity and the pain of all of that would be horrible enough, but people and how they responded to the deformity would be absolutely just compounded in the pain that someone would feel. To be emotionally, to have someone look at you and just in horror because of the way that you look, to shun you, to be quarantined and not be able to be with your family. And they said leprosy was easier contacted in children than they were adults. And it could sit in the body for 5 to 20 years before it showed up. And then someone for their life is put in leper colonies. And one leper colony in the Philippines, it was called the Island of Sorrow. It's so sad. People would go and die there. So when Jesus says, he responds, would you have mercy on me? And for some in this room, that would be a good prayer. God, have mercy on me. I need mercy right now. I need your help. He doesn't walk away from you. He doesn't turn away from you. He's not afraid of whatever is hurting you physically or emotionally. He's not afraid. He'll often give you a word or an instruction. If he hasn't, wait for it, because it will come if you'll wait for it. If you'll keep looking in the scriptures, you'll find that he speaks to you specifically. And it just, his words are the most comforting you will ever, ever, ever receive. His instructions will always work and always lead you in a good path. And he says to them, go show yourself to the priest. So they went. Now, I want to share this with you. I think it's so interesting to me. When they go to the priest, okay, they're going to be healed. But this man's like, I'll do that later. I'm going to go and say thank you to the healer. Sometimes we're wanting things in life so much. I need this. I need that. I'll feel better if this has happened. This will help me. I'll be happy when, and I get this and I get that. And it's like, don't just pray for that. Seek Him. Come to know the healer. This man went back and said, thank you to the one who can not only heal him of leprosy, but help him with his whole life. We need help in all of our life. Whatever you're going through, you're going to need something else. And God will, He'll be everything to you. He knows everything about you, and He can guide you in everything. And so getting to know the healer, having a relationship with the Lord, a loving, living relationship with the Lord, where you walk and you talk with Him and He talks to you, will keep you throughout all your life. And that's the way you live a healthy, whole life. It's amazing, and I love that these little things can make a big difference. It's developing and growing our faith, because it makes big things in life feel like, well, somehow God can get me through. It may not feel like it right now, but I trust His word. Sometimes my response in life has just been, I trust in you, Lord, with all of my heart. I trust in you. And then I'll go to, I'm so thankful that I can trust in you. I'm so thankful that I can trust in you. And that has gotten me through some difficult moments. And then the Lord will help me from there. Now, again, faith has movement. In James 2, 17 and 18, it says this. This is the New King James Version. So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now the Message translation, I love the way this one reads. This is so clear. I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good. You take the care of the faith department and I'll handle the works department. Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand in glove. And I like that. Faith and works fit together hand in glove. If I had a glove right here and I put it on the table, it would have no life to it. It would have no movement to it. The only way the glove has movement to it is if I put my hand in it and I move it. So faith has some movement, not big. You don't have to have big movements. You can begin to develop in this. The Bible talks about degrees of faith, no faith, little faith, great faith. You can get to the point, all of us can, where we have great faith. We just trust that no matter what happens in life, God is going to help us and He's going to do something. No matter how dismal it is, no matter how big the diagnosis is, God in His word and His faithfulness and how comforting He is, He's going to help me. He's going to do something. If I have a big problem, then I have a better and bigger opportunity to believe for a miracle and for God to do something over the natural, something supernatural over the natural. The natural says this, but I'm putting God's word first, and so He's going to do something for me. I'm going to keep that in my heart. I'm going to keep that in my mouth, and I'm going to keep thanking Him. You're helping me. You love me, and I trust you, Lord God. Little things make big, big differences, move big, big mountains. There was this minister, and he said he went to go see someone who was very, very, very sick in the hospital, and it looked like they were going to pass on. The diagnosis was big, and where they needed to be to get to a place of healing and be able to function looked huge. It was like, this is too big. And you could tell the man was in a pretty great deal of despair. Like, I don't think I'm going to get this. So the minister said to him, he said, how about, could you believe with me that tomorrow you'll be a little bit better than you are today. And he said, well, yes, I could believe that. I could believe I'll be a little bit better tomorrow than I was today. So he went back and he said, okay, how was today? He goes, I was a little bit better today than I was tomorrow. He goes, okay, how about tomorrow, the next day? Can you believe it there? Okay, I could believe for a little bit better, a little bit better. And he did. Day after day, he believed for a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, and a little bit adds to a lot of it. And he was completely healed of that diagnosis. What looked so big in little increments and little growths, the Lord was able to work and do a miraculous, miraculous thing. I have to tell you, that is how I was healed with the pancreas. It seemed so big. There was nothing else doctors could do at all. No one really in the natural gave me any kind of hope. All I had was God's words. And so I just spoke God's words, and little by little by little, I began going, okay, I've had so many bad days in a row. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do a Pollyanna here. I am going to start to thank God for little things. And I was like, I had 2 hours that were good today. And it seemed ridiculously small, but I kept doing it. And then I'm like, I had half a day that was good. And I didn't have to take as much pain medicine as I usually did. And I had 3 days that were good this week. And what happened is, it seemed like when I was thanking God for little things, when I'd have a setback, it wouldn't bother me as much. Because I'm looking for, where is God? Where can I thank him? And what can I thank him for? And you'll start to get into a flow there where it becomes a part of your life. And I like that. I want to repeat it again. It's something I've had to remember, what that one minister said. Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. And actually, it's a choice that we have to make. And it's not easy all the time. So if you can just start to thank you, Lord. I mean, it could sound like, thank you. I used to ask Michael, because he was a little grumbly, you know? And he'd just be a little old thing and just tiny. I'm like, you're grumbly already. Why are you grumbly already? So let's list five things. He's like, well, I had a bath tonight. I'm like, okay, that's good. You know, some people don't get a bath. So you got a bath. What else, you know? And so he's trying to pull it out. And I used to laugh about it, but I found that I began doing the same thing. What can I thank God for? Where was God today? And when you can begin to find that and highlight that, it will help you huge. And you're growing your faith. You're growing your muscles. So this is where I want to skip down to my third. I'm going to go C and B. Thanksgiving strengthens your faith. It is an act of faith. Psalm 145:2 says, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. Okay, let me ask you, you don't have to raise your hand. Did you bless the Lord today? Did you praise him? Okay, that's a good thing. Every day I will bless you. Every day I will praise your name forever and ever. Now, when I read that, I thought, oh, I think I have some days that I just kind of forget. I have my devotions. I have my time with the Lord, but I'm awfully serious or awfully quiet, and I haven't thanked or praised the Lord. So I began doing this one prayer at night. It's helped me huge. And it's like, before I go to bed, the last thing I do, I'll go, let me reflect on today. Where were you today, God? Where could I see you today? And some days I'm like, oh, here and here and here and there. And those are like really good days. There's other days I'm like, it was a really bad day. Not my favorite day. I'm tomorrow's going to be better. Thank you. There's new mercies for tomorrow. But I'm like, I make myself find, where was God in the day? And sometimes it's, ridiculously little, but it still counts. I'm like, well, I liked my breakfast. I like toast and jelly. And so I had toast and jelly. And I have hot water. And I realized, so I'm doing exactly what my son Michael did that I used to laugh about. But what happens is, for me, the bad days aren't so low. I'm like, I can find God in the middle of the day. It's like a treasure hunt. And if you get into the habit of doing that, you'll find God in the midst of when what would have pulled you down huge doesn't pull you down anymore. You're like, because I know where God is. I'm looking for him in the midst of life. Where were you, God? What would you say about this? I know you're with me. And I love you and I thank you. I'll also, in that, I reflect on the day, also repent for the day. And it's interesting, I'll go, Lord, where didn't I do so good? And little things come to me. Your attitude was a little bit off. Or you shouldn't have said that. You didn't have to. It was an opinion. And your opinion doesn't matter. It may not even line up with the Lord's. And so I repent of those things. And I like to keep my heart close and tender to the Lord in that way. Now, in thanking the Lord for little things, this really happened to me. With the pancreas, there was a lot of pain involved. And so the pain was bothering me. And I had my scriptures, and I'm praying my scriptures, but the pain, I was like, okay. So I'm laying on the floor one evening. The kids are getting ready for bed. Alan's teaching at Lakewood. And I just talked to the Lord. I like to talk to the Lord and tell him everything. I'm very honest in my heart before the Lord. Not disrespectful. I'm uncomfortable with that. I like to just go, Lord, I need help here. And basically I was doing that. I'm like, Lord, I know what your word said. I know these scriptures you gave me. The pain, I'm having a hard time with it. But I'm just going to keep confessing the scriptures. So I prayed that, and I came upon a scripture, and I have these little index cards. And one was, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I just started repeating it. Me, I love to repeat things. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Isn't it nice that God's like, I'll give you the words to say. Just say my words when you don't know what to say. When you're going, just say God's words. So I'm like, greater is he that's in me. Greater than he, and I'm telling you, like a raindrop would drop on my head or out of the sky. I was like, greater is he that's, you're greater than pain. Of course you're greater than pain. You're the creator of heaven and earth. And you're greater than any pain I'm feeling. And I put my arm up and I said, thank you, Lord. You're greater than pain. I have to tell you, it was a turning point for me. At that point, pain literally began lifting off of my body. And anytime I had pain, I began going, thank you, Lord, you're greater than pain. Thank you, Lord, you're greater than pain. And it wasn't too terribly long. I forget, I can't tell you how many months after that, but I actually came off all the pain medication, everything. And it was a miracle that nothing in the natural could give to me. But I began thanking the Lord with a scripture that he is greater than pain. So you can thank the Lord with God's words. He's like, I'll tell you what to say. Say this. And when you say that, he could drop something in your heart. And so again, just all these little things get us through life and make us whole to where we live in soundness of mind, where we live with a peace in our hearts, where we're able to sleep at night, where we don't have pain in our heart or pain in our body, where we're not under condemnation and guilt and shame. We don't have to live that way. God's like, I want to relieve you. I want to help you. And he's so good. He does not pass you by. When you go, God, have mercy on me, he is a merciful God. He is a loving Father, and he cares about your life. And I just wanted to say this last part is, it's about a relationship with him. Faith isn't an equation. a formula. And I have to tell you, I tried to do that for so long. And I'm like, I did this, I did this, I did this, and I did this, and I didn't get the results here. It's about a relationship with the Lord. And I love that this one man, the one leper, is like, okay, going to the priest, yes, I'll do that. But first, I have to go back to the healer and thank him for who he is and what he's done for me. He came up close to the healer and he spoke to him personally. He spoke to him specifically and I believe did something for him in a very special way. Thanksgiving, when you're thankful to the Lord, it's really just good manners. And you say thank you when you believe you received something. That's why it's faith. If I believe you gave me something and I say thank you, you see, then that's faith. That's what faith is. You've done something for me. Before the priest ever said, you are clear of leprosy. You are able to go back into society. You are able to be loved again and be with your family. He's like, I'm going to go and give thanks. Before healing is completed, before you have everything as you're praying about, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let him speak to you. Have a living, loving relationship with the Lord. That's what makes all the difference in the world. He says in the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. As you come before the Lord, you want to consecrate and reconsecrate your life. I think this is very interesting. If you could follow along with me, I hope I make sense here. When the men were told to go to the priest, what they did to be declared clear of leprosy is they brought an offering. They'd bring two doves or two birds. It's so symbolic of what Jesus did for us. One bird is killed and the blood of the dead bird is put on the live bird. This bird is alive because of the death of this bird. The blood and water that was on this, because they do it with running water, is put on the ear of the leprous man who's going to be made clean, the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. Then he goes off for 7 days. He's quarantined to see, is he still clear of this? He shaves and clears himself because it's like my life is being restored. Two lambs are then given. One lamb's sacrifice as an offering. The other lamb lives. Is exactly what Jesus did for us. Because of his blood, because of his death, we live. Because of his blood, because of his death, we're healed. It's part of it. It's the same thing. And they put the blood and they put oil on the right ear, the right thumb, the right toe. I love this. This is a consecration. Think about it. From now on, Lord, I'm going to listen to what you have to say. My ear is yours. Your kingdom come, your will be done. My hands are yours. What do you want me to do? I'll put my hands to whatever you ask me to do. My feet help me go where you would want me to go. That type of devotion, loyalty, and reconsecration to the Lord will keep you whole, will give you a whole life. And you'll find that God fills in and heals empty, hurting, cracked places all over the place that you hadn't even prayed about. But God's like, oh, you need to fill that in too. He's so kind. This reconsecration, and I really believe this man, before he goes through anything formal, he's like, I'm going to thank the Lord. I'm going to get to know the healer. You can get to know the Lord personally. If you aren't already, talk to him. Talk to him real normal. He knows what you sound like. He knows what you're going through. But when we talk to him, it's a really good thing. You'll feel close. You draw close to him, and he says, he will draw close to you. And no matter what you're going through, you can have a peace and know God cares about me. He's with me, and he's merciful. Now, I was fascinated when I was in high school. Did anybody watch? It was a black and white movie called The Elephant Man. Did anybody? Okay, yes, I liked that movie, okay? I thought it, but it's a true story. It's a true story about a man who had horrible deformities. They don't know why. He was in England about the 1800s, because I think Queen Elizabeth's parents had actually visited him. But he was treated horribly, like a circus ringmaster made money off of him and treated him like an animal, not realizing he actually was a gentle human being on the inside. And there was a doctor who had seen him and asked, can I take him to my hospital and give him a room and try to take care of him? And he did it under the guise of trying to study him, but he began to become very tender-hearted towards this man. He's like, he's a gentle soul. He's a human being behind what people are afraid of and how they treat him because he's all deformed. He's human and he needs to be treated kindly. And one day he quotes Psalm 23. And they're like, how do you know Psalm 23? They didn't think he had any intelligence or anything. And he said, I read my Bible every day. It's my favorite psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And they're like, you read your Bible every day? And so he had it memorized. The Lord was his shepherd. And they asked him, how do you put up with everything and the meanness towards you? You know what he said? I'm happy every hour of every day because I know I'm loved. He was loved by the doctor, but more importantly, he was loved by the Lord. When you get close to the Lord and you know how much he loves you, how much he will be merciful to you, that he will talk you through anything in life, he will heal your deepest pain and your deepest shame. You won't ever want to be away from him in any sense of the word. You're like, how close can I get? Because I want to be that close. And healing and happiness and peace and restoration and wholeness is right there. So, Father, I just thank you for every person this evening, Lord God, and thank you that you are making us whole for the healing power and mercies of the Lord towards each one, and that they know how much they're loved. And I ask you for a happiness in their life, a joy in their life, a sense that whatever they're going through now, they'll come through, and whatever they'll go through, they'll continue to come through with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.